Today's shiur is Masechta Baba Basra, Daf Kuf Samach Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Samach Beis Amid Beis, the last line. As we discussed in the previous shiur, the Gemara taught us that if a document is written and the space of one line in between the document and the signature of the Edom, the shtar is a kosher shtar. However, if there's a space for two lines between the text of the shtar and the signature of the Edom, the shtar is disqualified. Al Gemara, and the reason is, as we explained, because when there's a space of two lines, someone can add a line that would not belong into the shtar and use it in an illegal manner, and that's why Chazal said that such a shtar is possible. So Al Gemara picks up where the shear left off. If the concern when there's a space of two lines is because someone can insert their words, text that don't belong there, ask the Gemara, Bailuhu, Shnei Shitim Sha'amru. When we say that if there's a space of two lines, the shtar is invalid, how do we look at those two lines? Hein Vavira doesn't mean that not just there's a room for a line, but there's also room above and below for the letters, as we'll discuss soon in the Shir Mitzvah Hashem, to protrude. Only then will it be disqualified. Adilma, or perhaps, Hein V'loy Avira. It's there, it's only disqualified if we have room for the line, room for the lines, even without space around them. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, says Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mistabra, it makes sense to say that when we speak about two lines, it refers to the situation of Hein V'Aviram, where there's a line and the space around the lines. These Akadata Hein V'Loy Aviram, if we're going to say when we speak about two lines, we speak about two lines without any space, ask the Gemara, Shita Achas B'Loy Avira L'Meichazia. And there's a number of ways in the Rishonim how to understand this. The simple pshat actually is Taisus pshat. As we said at the beginning of our shir, the Braisa speaks about a space of one line not disqualifying a shir, and a shtar, and a space of two lines disqualifying a shtar. Certainly when we speak about a space of one line not disqualifying the shtar, says Taisus, it must be in a situation where you could write something in that line. Because if you couldn't write anything in that line, I don't need the Braisa to tell us that it doesn't disqualify the shtar. So similarly, if by one line, the Braisa is talking about a one line with the space needed around the line, similarly, when we'll speak about two lines, it must be two lines with the space around them. That's how Taisus learns. The Rashbam learns differently. He takes it from the opposite approach. He's saying, as we said at the beginning, what's the reason Chazal said that if there's two lines space, we have an issue? Because we are concerned that somebody will insert in that space of two lines words that don't belong there. So obviously, it's only in a situation where you can indeed use those two lines. Because if you can't use the two lines, what's the reason that Chazal would have disqualified the shtar? El Shmami, no, it must be. When we speak about two lines, Hein V'Aviram, it means the lines and the space around the lines, Shmami, no, and that has indeed what it must be. So ask now the Gemara, says the Gemara, when we speak about the two lines, Rav Shapsi Omer Mishmei Dechizkiah, that when we speak about the two lines, Shtei Shitim Sha'amru, when we speak about these two lines, it must be B'Ksav Yidei Edom. In how do we measure it? In the writing of the witnesses. For like K'Ksav Yidei Sofer, not when it's the handwriting of the Sofer. As the Rishonim explain, typically the handwriting of Edom was larger, bigger than the handwriting of a cipher, for a number of reasons. Number one, because the Sofer is an expert. All day long he writes, and therefore he is trained to write with a smaller handwriting. Furthermore, they used to write with a quill, with a kolmus, and you have to have a certain amount of proficiency to be able to write with a kolmus. A Sofer knows how to do that, Edim do not. And therefore, Shnei Shitim Sh'amru, when we speak about two lines, we speak about the larger handwriting of the Edim, the Loib Savi De Sofer, not the smaller handwriting of a Sofer. However, the Ramban quotes a Yerushalmi that if the Sofer of this Shtar is a Sofer who writes with a larger handwriting, there are such individuals, then we'll say that it's we follow the handwriting of the size of the handwriting of the Sofer and not the smaller handwriting of Edom. Ask the Gemara, why when we speak about the size of the handwriting, do we speak about the larger handwriting, not the smaller handwriting? Why are we not concerned that perhaps they went to the Sofer, this person, this unscrupulous person went to the Sofer to ask him to add something into the Shtar? Answers the Gemara, Kala Mazayif, Lav Lagaba Sofer Ozel Mazayif. If somebody wants to act improperly and ask somebody to add something into the Shtar, he would not go to the Sofer to do it, because the Sofer has a reputation. There's a concept in Halacha of Umen Loimare Imnusay. A professional doesn't want to ruin his reputation. And in fact, as the Paiskim say, that's why the Halacha is, that even under normal circumstances, where we're not allowed to ask an Akum to do something on our behalf. If the Akum is a professional, there's a concept of Uman Leimarim Nase. And here too, the Sofer will not want to participate in something illegal. Ask the Rishonim, if so, that we've now established that a Sofer won't participate in something illegal, so then why are we saying in the previous shiur, the introduction to today's shiur, that if there's a space of one line between the text and the signature of the Edim, the Shtar is kosher? If there's a space of two lines between the text and the Shtar, it's possible. Why don't we say that if we see that the entire text is written in the handwriting of the Sofer, and we just established that the Soferim don't act dishonestly, that should be the best proof, no matter how much of a space there exists between the text and the signature, that the Shtar is all kosher? Answered the Rishonim, Rabbeinu Yoni answers this question, that the Gemara doesn't mean that it never happens that a Sofer acts improperly, dishonestly. What it means is as follows. If we don't have any reason to be concerned, so then we could say that the Sofer acted properly only. However, when there is a reisa here, there's too much space between the text of the Shtar and the signature of the Edim, just to completely rely on the honesty of the Sofer, we cannot rely on that completely. On the other hand, the Meiri, based on the Gemara, says here we're saying that a very big chiddush, because our Gemara seems to be teaching us that if the document has different styles of writing, that it might have been written more by one person, that would be kosher. Because the Gemara is teaching us that the fact that the first part of the Shtar was written by the Sofer and the second part was written by different people, that in itself, the Gemara doesn't indicate, says the Meiri, is an issue. It's only an issue, it seems, says the Meiri, if we have space. But the fact that there are different signatures is not an issue in itself. The Rashbam and Tosfos, however, say that in a case where the last two lines seem to be smaller than the rest of the Shtar, Bezdin, he says, would assume that the last two lines were put in illegally. And the Beis Yosef quotes a Rashba, who explains that the concern regarding the shtar with too much blank space is not only that the holder of the shtar is going to put in the clause that doesn't belong there at the end of the shtar, but as we're going to learn soon in the Gemara, there's a concern that he may entirely cut off the top of the shtar and use just a one-line shtar in the blank space remaining on top of the signatures, just saying that someone owes him a sum of money. Accordingly, says the Rashba, this Gemara is no proof that Beis Din will not question the validity of a shtar in which the professional style of writing changes towards the end of the shtar, because the concern is not necessarily that one will fill an extra line and present them in the entire shtar, but there's a different concern, and that is that one will cut off the top of the shtar and prepare a one-line fraudulent shtar. Bekama. So now that we established that the two, and this is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. Now that we established that the two-line space that would disqualify a shtar, if there was a two-line space between the signature of the Eidib and the text, how large is that space? Amrav Yitzchak Balazar Kigalon L'cha L'cha Zal Gabezeh, which means there has to be enough space that if the word Lamed of the word of L'cha on the bottom line is right below a chaf, sophia, and a chaf on top line, so the top of the lamed and the bottom of the chaf would not touch, and therefore we have to have the area of two spaces between the two lines, plus for the lamed to go up and the chaf to go down, and we have to have a space on top and a space on bottom in case there's a lamed on the top line for that lamed to go up, and in case there's a chaf on the bottom line for that chaf to go down, which gives us the total of two lines plus four spaces. And actually, when I first learned this Gemara, I thought to myself that this seems to be a chumrah, to be concerned, or you could rather say a kula, to be concerned about such a scenario. But actually, you could have asked, the Rishonim point out, there could have been even more scenario. Because what happens if the top line and the bottom line also could have a lecha situation? So maybe we'd even need not just four spaces, but six spaces. So even Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar, who requires such a large distance, he could have theoretically required even a larger distance. But that's the distance he requires. And as I said, the Rashbam's explanation of this Gemara is because the Rashbam says we're dealing here with individuals who are not professional cipherim. A professional cipher is able to figure out before he begins to write a document or anything that he should not end up with a situation with a lamed right on top of an endachof. But here we're referring to individuals who are not professionals, who are not cipherim, and therefore we have that concern. So according to Rashbam's understanding, Rabbi Yitzchak ben Elazar is not coming to disagree with the pshat that we just learned. He's on the contrary, because we're concerned that these people are not professional, that's why we have to leave so much space. Alma, because Rav Yitzchak's opinion is Sover Shnei Shnitin Vaba Avirim. Rav Chibar Ami Mishmed Ula, however, says Kigoyin Lamed Lamala V'Chof Lamata. He has a similar concern, but not to the same degree. He's not going to be concerned, says the Rashbam, explaining Rav Chibar Ami's opinion, that we're going to have exactly a situation that the Lamed and that Chaf Sofi are going to come right on top of the other. Even if he's not a professional, he's confident enough that he can arrange the writing to avoid such a situation. So therefore, he has the same concern, but not to the same degree, and therefore he's going to hold Alma Kosover Shnei Shnitin V'Shloish Avirin. Ravu, however, says a third opinion: Kigoyim Baruch Ben Levi B'Shita Achas. If you could write a letter, a line, or Baruch Ben Levi on one line, that is already too much of a distance that would disqualify the shtar, because he's of the opinion Kosover Shita Achas V'Shnei Avirin, which of course all the Rishonim immediately jump on. Because we learned, as we said in the previous shiur in the Braisa, that if there's only a distance of one line, it won't disqualify the shtar. And here, Bavu is clearly teaching us that if there's a distance of one line, the shtar will be possible. So, how do we reconcile this? So some Rishonim indeed say that he disagrees with what we learned in the previous year. He represents a different opinion that holds it's possible even with one line. Other Rishonim explain, however, that one line with Shtei Avirim is equal to the size of two lines with the Avir Beinehem. So therefore, one line with one Avir, Ribavu will agree, as the Braisa indicates, that the Shtar is kosher. However, if you have one line with two shitin, then that will be a situation that is equal to of two lines that the Braisa said is possible. So again, as we explained, that the machloikis, according to the Rashbam's understanding, is that everybody agrees that the concern is that non-professionals will be brought to write. The question is, when non-professionals are brought to be right, how much do we have to be concerned that, given that they don't have that talent that a cipher has, not to line up letters that will take up too much space? Other Rishonim, however, have a different explanation, and they say that the disagreement is when a cipher is the one that's writing the shtar. Till now, we've been learning when there's a space between the text of the shtar and the signature of the Eidim. Amar Rav, says Rav, Lo Yishanu, everything we've been learning till now, in a situation being Eidim Laksav, if there's a space between the signature, between the text of the shtar and the signature of the Eidim. Ava ben Eidim Lasharta, let's say we have Eidim sign on the shtar, and below that we have a sharta, a kiyum of Bezdin, says Rav, afilu tuva nami kosher. Even if there'll be a larger space, the shtar would be kosher. Ask the Gemara, Maishno ben Eidim Luxav, why is the halacha that there's too much space, just two lines between the text of the shtar and the Eidim signature? We say the shtar is possible, for we are concerned, the mazayev akosamai debai, maybe in that empty space somebody will put in a clause that doesn't belong there, v'chsimi edi, and we already have Edom signed there, and we will have a very bad situation. Ask the Gemara, if so, ben Edom lasharta nami, in a situation where there's space between the certification and the signature of the Edom, why should we not be concerned that mazayev akosamai debai, that somebody will forge and write in whatever he wants, v'chsimi sadi, and then I'll have Edom already signed. He'll have already Edom signed there, and he'll have a situation where we have a pasul shtar and certified. That means he'll cut off the entire. Why should we not be concerned that he could write whatever he wants? He'll already have witnesses there, because we have witness, even though normally witnesses are below this text. Here we'll say, since there's a kiyum, Bezdin certified the shtar, even though the witnesses appeared before the actual text of the shtar, and they'll use the shtar improperly. That's one pshat. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest, the Rishash suggests rather, in explaining the Gemara, is that what will happen here is he'll cut off the entire top of the shtar with the signature of the Eidim. He will then go write a false document, bring false witnesses, all above the certification, and use this as it was a good shtar. Answers the Gemara, to avoid this problem, what's done is the metayitle, that they actually fill this entire space between the signatures and the certification. They fill it up with ink, and therefore there's no way that you could write something on that spot because it's all filled up with ink. Tosfos says that it doesn't actually have to be filled with ink, just if lines are drawn there or dots are made there, the same will have been accomplished. And in fact, this is the source of the minig, that whenever in the halacha we write a boilerplate shtar and there's empty space to put in whatever has to be put in, lines are drawn on the entire space that's not written on. Ihachi, ask the Gemara, if now the Gemara has introduced, there's a new way of avoiding a problem of empty space by filling it up with ink, so then why don't we say the same in the situation that we've been discussing till now, when there's space between the text of the shtar and the signature of the Eidim, why don't we just fill it up with ink? Answers the Gemara, Amri, because if we will have such a situation, people will say, Sadia tiyuta dechsimi. The signature of the Eidim is not coming to testify on what it says in the actual document. All the signature of the Eidim is coming to speak to is that this empty space was filled up with ink. But we need Eidim to testify to the shtar. And by having this ink filled area in between, we will ruin that need. Ask the Gemara, if when we have Eidim below of ink filled space, we assume, or we have to assume, we have to be concerned that that's all they're testifying, that this area was filled up with ink. So why not in the sense that the Gemara gave us this suggestion to do? Why don't we say, Ben Eidim Lashar Tanami, when there's a space between the signature of the Eidim and the certification, and we filled it up with ink, why don't we say that the certification is only coming to speak about the ink-filled area? Amri, why are we not concerned that Beidimi Atiyuta Chudachsimi, that all Bezdin is doing is they're testifying that this area was filled of ink? Full of ink? Answers the Gemara, Beidin Atiyuta Lechsimi. That's not what Bezdin does. Number pshat and brishon, what does it mean? Beidina tiyuti lechsimi. One pshat is, it's not to the cover of Bezdin that somebody will, that they should just be brought here to certify that there was area filled of ink. Another pshat is as follows. We have to look at the difference between signatures and a kiyum of Bezdin, a certification of Bezdin. Signatures are just signatures. They don't speak to us. So we could say if the signatures are below an area full of ink, all they're doing is speaking that this area was full of ink. Whereas we have signatures below a kiyum of a shtar, it's not just signatures of Bezdin. It comes with an entire nusach. V'shrinu v'kaminu b'mois klos avino v'shrinu v'kaminu la'ishtara. So that whole nusach doesn't speak to just verifying that this area was full of ink. Another pshat is that Eidim, as we've been learning, have to sign directly below the text of the shtar. And when Eidim have to sign directly below the text of the shtar, we say that their signature speaks to the area that's right above their signature. And therefore, if we have an area full of ink right above the signature of the Eidim, we have to assume, we have to be thinking that maybe that's all the Eidim are speaking to. However, the kiyum of a shtar, as we learned, doesn't even have to be on the front of the shtar. Whereas the signature of Eidim have to be directly in the front of the shtar, the kiyum doesn't have to be in the front of the shtar. And since the kiyum doesn't have to be in the front of the shtar, we see that kiyum works with different rules than signatures of Edom. And therefore, even though by Edom we could say that it's that the signatures are speaking about that the area is full of ink, we would not say so by the kiyum. Ask the Gemara, in the case where there's a space between the signatures and the certification, why not be concerned? And that we learned that what you need to do is fill up that entire area between the signature and the certification with ink. Why not be concerned? What somebody will come do is cut off the entire upper portion, the text, the signatures of the Edom, then erase that area where it was full of ink. The custom by the boy, on top of that erased area, write whatever text he wants to. Or machtim sadi, and then bring false witnesses to be part of this game, so to speak. Vomerav, I will say that perhaps a shtar that's written on top of erased paper is not a kosher shtar. That's not true, because Omerav shtar habo huve edav al machak. If you have a shtar that it and the signatures of the edim are all on erased piece of paper, the shtar is a kosher shtar, as we'll discuss more in Mitzvah Shem in tomorrow's shir. So why should we not be concerned of that? Says the Gemara, Hanich l'Rav Kahana, if we'll say according to Rav Kahana's version, the Masna L'Mishmei L'Shmu, who said that this halacha, that if the text of the shtar and the signature of the Edom are all on erased paper, was said only in the name of Shmuel, but not in the name of Rav Shapir, because Rav perhaps would indeed say that a document that was written on erased paper is possible. So we don't have to be concerned that somebody's going to erase that entire ink-filled area and write a new shtar on top of it, because Rav would hold its possible. El Rav Tavumi, the Masna Mishmei the Rav, that it was Rav that says that a shtar, when the text and the witnesses are on erased paper, is still a kosher shtar, Mayik Lameimer. Why should we not be concerned? Why is Rav going to say that filling up this area with ink is a valid option? Ask the Rishonim, if this is the halacha, then we should have the question regarding any document we have a kiyum certification written below it. Even if there was no space between the signature and the certification, why should we not be concerned that somebody's going to erase the entire document with the signatures of the Edom, write a new false document and false Edom, all above the certification? Why are we only concerned when it's full of ink? So Tosfos says that there's a difference between when you erase a place where there were no words, it was just a blotch of ink, versus a place where there were words. In a place where there was ink, it's possible to erase that entire area, and there was nothing ever written there, and therefore there's reason for concern. Here in the case that we're asking about, we want to erase words and put in new words. To erase words and put in new words, that is more noticeable, and therefore somebody's not going to take that chance. The Shach gives a different answer. He says, in our case, where somebody is erasing ink, he has nothing to lose. He had no good shtar on that area. He had no good shtar on that space. He's not taking a risk by ruining a good shtar to write another shtar. And therefore, we have to be concerned that the person is going to do something like that. However, in the case that we're asking about, we have a situation where we had a good shtar. It was a good shtar with good Edom, with a good certification. So the person just maybe wants to get even a better deal. But by getting a better deal, he's going to ruin a sure thing. People don't necessarily take such a chance to ruin a valid shtar on the outside chance and have that and have the possibility of getting caught, because the Beis Din may recall what was in the shtar, and the Beis Din may recall that this wasn't the shtar that they certified because of the outside chance that it maybe get a better deal. So again, our question in the Gemara is, the Rav said that if the space between the signature of the Edim and the certification below that fill it up with ink, our Gemara's question is, why should we not be concerned that somebody's going to erase that area and put in a full shtar and have a key in below it? Ksavar answered the Gemara, the Rav is of the opinion that Kol Kai Gavna, whenever you have such a situation, whenever it will be noticeable that this shtar, that this new shtar was written on erased piece of paper, we won't rely on the certification. Well, we're going to have to recertify Elman Adam Shabbai. We're going to have to recertify the Adam, and therefore nobody's going to there's no point in doing this because you can't rely on the certification. This is all, says the Gemara, the opinion of Rav. However, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is Loishna Elabeinim Luksav. The Nafkamina, if there's a space of two lines or one line, is when there's a space between the text of the shtar and the signature of the Edom. Ava ben Edom LaSharta, if there's a space between the signature of the Edom and the signature and the certification, a fila shitachas pasul, even one line with the pasul. And we shouldn't say that even if we mark up that space with ink, we have to be concerned that he, unlike what we learned on Amud Aleph, we are never going to say in the Gemara Amud Aleph, the Gemara explained that we don't say that judges signed to the just that this area was filled of ink. Rabbi Yochanan, however, is of the opinion that judges even sign to the space of ink. Ask the Gemara, let's understand Rabbi Yochanan's psak. Ma'ishto ben Edom LaSharta. Why, if there's a space between the signature of the Edom and the certification, are we going to Machmer? For we have to be concerned, Gilmel Gais Leloi, he may cut off the entire upper portion of the document, but then the cost of Huvish Edom Shita Achas, and then I'll write a new document saying somebody owes me a tremendous sum of money, for example, and have Edom sign along that same line, the Ksover, and Rav Yochanan is of the opinion, the Shtar Haba Huva Edom B'Shita Achas, that we have a situation of Edom and the text all on one line, it's kosher. And therefore we can have a real problem that we'll have a Shtar that says somebody owes me money, have Edom sign right next to it, and Kiyam right below it, and we'll have a real issue. And in fact, Tosfos, and many Poskim take this opinion, Tosfos has a discussion here, we have to be careful, because it is, Tosfos says, of leaving wide open margins. Because by leaving wide open margins, we have to be concerned that people could insert in these wide open margins all sorts of words. And that's why the minig is, for example, we see it very commonly by ksuba, that around the text of the ksuba there are designs, flowers, psukim, all to avoid the issue of having margins right next to the wording that the different things could be inserted into that margin. Ask the Gemara if that is what Rabbi Yochanan is concerned, Ihachi, that even if there's space of only one line, Ben Edom Luksav, that we learned in the previous year in the Braisa, that if there's only room of one line between the text of the shtar and the signature of the Edom, the halacha is that such a shtar is kosher, why should we not be concerned? Del Magoyz Leloy, some is unscrupulous, is going to cut off the entire top part of the shtar. The Kasim Maidabai, and write whatever he wishes on that line, the Chassim Isadi, and then he already has Edom signed on the next line. Answer the Gemara, Kesavar, Shtar haba hu b'shita achas v'shita b'eda b'shita acheres. Whenever we have a situation that the shtar, what we actually have here, that the shtar is only one line long, and the edim are below that, the halacha is that such a shtar is invalid. And the reason is very simple, because as we learned in the previous year, that we could never learn any information from the last line of a shtar. Here, the entire shtar is the last line, because the entire shtar is a one line shtar. And therefore, it's going to be the halacha that this shtar is a valid shtar. Whereas, a shtar that appears, the previous case that we spoke about, with the text and the edim on the same line, will not be subject to that rule. Because there it's obvious that the text wasn't put in after the signatures, because if they were put in after the signatures, then the signatures would not appear in the middle of the line. Therefore, such a shtar is valid. Ask the Gemara, V'leichish. Again, going back to what we just said, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, a shtar that's written on one line, with edim on that line, is a kosher shtar. V'leichish, why should we not be concerned? The makasav huva edim b'shita achas, he'll have all of that on one shtar. He'll cut off the entire top area, write a one sentence shtar with edim on that one sentence. So we'll have a shtar of a half a line of text followed by four signatures. Two forged signatures on the first line, and then two real signatures on the line below. Vama. And when somebody will ask him, why do you have so many signatures on the shtar, four signatures, he'll say, Anola Rabbis Beidemo Davidi. We know, as we've learned so many times, the purpose of having many Edom is to make publicity. And he's going to say that's how you create a lien. And therefore, he'll say, that's what I did it. And therefore, he'll go and have the two authentic signatures certified, and then we'll end up having a situation that a false shtar is being used. Answers the Gemara Kesavar. Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that Kol Kai Gavna never will have such a situation come to us, come to Bezdin, where we'll have the Edim signed. And two Edom signed, the shtar will take up half a line. Two Edom signed after that, half a line. And two Edom signed below that. We won't allow the shtar to become verified with the Edom that signed on the bottom. We will insist, Elma Edom Shlamala, the Edom who are on top, who are actually false Edom. And since they're false Edom, we'll be able to catch them, and that will be a way that the person will not even begin writing such a shtar, because he'll know that he's going to get caught. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan holds, agrees what we learned in the previous year, that if there's only a space of one line between the text of the shtar and the signature of the Edom, the shtar remains a kosher shtar.